Well, some good news this evening. Bob made it to Denver okay, and Sarah and David are home. So our travelers are arriving at their destinations. This evening we have our brother Marvin to be our speaker, and I know that he appreciates the prayers of everyone as he brings us the message this evening, and that he would appreciate your kind attention. Our brother Marvin.
I have to grin at these old people. They can't get around very well. There we go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's no fun being in these kind of predicaments, but they happen. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about...
I was trying to figure out if your mic is on.
It's on.
Okay.
It's still recording, so you can keep on going.
Okay.
Well, we'll be... talking about this country, you know, the blessed land. You know, there's a lot of area in this country, in this world, I should say. And some of it is not all productive like this nation is. The Lord, you know, he's brought more than one nation to this country. And he told them that if you're faithful, all will be well, but you're going to have to follow me and keep my commandments. Well, that's kind of a hard thing to do, is to keep the Lord's commandments in all things. And for a while, it works very fine, but, you know, at the Tower of Babel, the Lord confounded the languages, and Brother Jared, you know, took it to the Lord and asked that they not confound their language, or the language of their friends, that they wouldn't do that. And so the Lord didn't, and he blessed them and told them to leave the place where they're at and to come to this country. Of course, they didn't know where it was at the time. And so they headed out, and they had to build some ships, you know, more than once. Barges, to get across some of the bigger ponds that they crossed through, or lakes. And then they got to the seashore, and then they had to build those boats. Been quite a time of building them boats, but you know, I've heard a lot of stories on them, and I've often wondered, you know, Brother Jared cried to the Lord and says, you know, we need some light. And so the Lord says, what will you do? And so Brother Jared, very faithfully, knowledgeable, and he went to the top of the mountain, molded out some glass, and then he took it to the Lord and had the Lord touch them so that they'd have light. And the Lord did. They had light. And then he told them, you know, we got to have air in there, for how can we steer? So he says, put a hole in the bottom and one in the top, and when you need air, open them up. Well, I've heard a lot of different stories how that transpired. My knowledge, I don't know, but I can guess, you know, them boats, when they sit in the water, you know, the bottom would always be covered with water. But, you know, if they had built outriggers on all of those boats, so that the boat set up out of the water altogether, and the outriggers was only in the water, then they could have that hole in the bottom of the ship. And on when it's stormy and got waves flashing, and then, you know, water would come up into the boat, and so they were commanded to cover it up when it done that, so they wouldn't drown. But, you know, that's merely my opinion. I don't know any more about it than the rest of the people do, how they had a hole in the bottom and a hole in the top. But nevertheless, they were there, and the Lord blessed them in all of their doings there, and brought them to this land. You know, that would really be kind of a hard situation, them and the Nephites as well, when they come across them. You know, the Jaredites, when they come, they had to bring their animals and seeds and such not that they needed. And so that's what they done. So I would start here on page 737 and begin on verse 17 and read a few verses. Now, this is a little bit of later on into the time that they've been here on the land. And it come to pass that Emer did reign in his stead and did fill the steps of his father. And the Lord began again to take the curse from off the land, and the house of Emer did prosper exceedingly under the reign of Emer. And the space of 62 years they had become exceeding strong, insomuch that they become exceeding rich, having all manner of fruit, and of grain, and of silk, and of fine linen, and of gold, and of silver, and of precious things. You know, here they are in this land. They've had wars a number of times going. It just seemed like man is not happy unless he's a ruling over somebody to their hurt, or whatever. But, you know, they just, somebody wants to be king. And so war invariably comes along, like what we have going today. Has been going on forever, really, since creation. Takes a while to get going, but it does finally pick up speed, and there they go. Verse 20, and also all manner of cattle, of oxen, of cows, and of sheep, of swine, of goats, and also many other kind of animals, which were useful for the food of man. And they also had horses and asses, and there were elephants, curlioms, cummins, all of which were useful unto men, and more especially the elephant and the curlioms and the cummins. And so here they have these animals. You know, we don't know what they're called, but just these three, two of them, we don't know really what they are. But all the others, we know what they are. The horse and the mule is called the ass, and the elephant, you know, cows and goats. We know what they are. They're here present today. Well, they brought these with them. And, you know, they multiplied in the wilderness, and they always had them for work. But anyway, you know, they had the elephant here on this land as well. Now, in the tar pits in California, they have found the camel that they have there. They also have found the saber-toothed tiger there in the tar pits. And what all of these others might be, I don't know. Nobody else knows but the good Lord. But anyway, you know, they had the elephant there, and, you know, they could do quite a little work for mankind, really. And they're a big animal. Well, a camel's a pretty good-sized animal as well. And I say, you know, they had them. And the Cummins, who knows, one of these two might be the Lima that they had. It's a good little pack animal. So anyway, they had these animals for their work, and they done very well with them. The cow and the sheep and the swine and the goats. As I mentioned before, you know, they was not under the Mosaic law. So they never did, was given to them. But, you know, the sacrifice, they did follow that all the way down through the time. And so on verse 22 here, and thus the Lord did pour out his blessings upon the land, which was choice above all other lands, and he commanded that whoso should possess the land should possess it unto the Lord, or they should be destroyed when they were ripe in iniquity. For upon that, saith the Lord, I will pour out the fullness of my wrath. And so that's what he done, you know. They turned away from the Lord. War, fighting, and that they had going all the time. I go over here on page 742 and read a little bit. Begin on verse 72 here. Now, you know, the Lord told Brother Jared that he'd make them a great nation here upon this land above all other nations. And so he did bless them when they were righteous and followed him. He prospered them very good. Well, let's see. Let me start on verse 71. And they did work in all manner of ore, and they did make gold and silver and iron and brass and all manner of metals, and they did dig it out of the earth, wherefore they did cast up mighty heaps of earth for to get ore of gold and of silver and of iron and of copper. And they did work all manner of fine work, and they did have silks, fine twine linen, and they did work all manner of cloth, that they might clothe themselves from their nakedness. And they did make all manner of tools to till the earth, both to plow, to sow, to reap, and to hoe, and also to thrash. And they did make all manner of tools in the which they did work their beast. So they were quite prosperous. Very intelligent people they were. When you stop and think here, you know, they had the plow and the mower and the thrasher, combines, as we call them today, you know, the hoe to hoe out the weeds. You know, they had the animals to work to do all of that. So they were pretty well blessed in all of that. I know it was about in the 1800s before this country started off in making machinery like that and going. I can remember when I was a little fella, about 7 years old or such not, all of our equipment was run by animal power, horses. We had about 6 teams on the farm. And so, you know, we had the mower, we had a sulky rake and the bull rake and the plunger, you know, we had a slide stacker for putting up hay. And, you know, who was the laborers on that? Well, it was children that were out there. You know, I got to run the sulky rake and the plunger and such not as that. We had cattle for milking. We had the horses, and, you know, we'd turn them out in the evening and let them run wherever they wanted. And then it was my job to round them up in the morning and bring them back in. And then, you know, we had to milk the cows as well. So in one way, we were very well off in the 30s when the Depression was so bad. But we put up all of our produce by the power of horses. And that's what they had here, is horses as well, and, you know, the others for working. So, as I say, we didn't have that equipment, I don't believe, until somewhere along in about 1800, maybe even as late, early as 1700 for some of it. But anyway, we had that, and we put up our hay and all of that, and fed our animals in the winter, took care of them. We ate pretty good during that time. So anyway, they reached a pretty high civilization when they had machines like that to make them. They didn't have a gas engine or a diesel engine or a steam engine. I don't read, but you know, we did, as I say, we didn't have anything like that until later on in the years, about 1950, before we had any gas engines or tractors, as they called them. And so they were blessed of the Lord, as it says, as they had all of this equipment. But it's sad to see what happened to them a little bit later on. They got into a big scrap again. Somebody wanted to be a leader. And, you know, it's always that way, it seems like. And I want to turn over to 752. And I'll start here on verse 20. Here they're fighting. You know, they were quite numerous in their population that they had. They evidently must have had 5-6 million people around altogether. That would include their children and wives and such not. But anyway, here in verse 20, they're at war. And it come to pass that the sons of Coriantumr fought much and bled much. And in the second year, the word of the Lord come to Ether, that he would go, that he should go and prophesy unto Coriantumr, that if he would repent and all his household, the Lord would give unto him his kingdom and spare the people. Otherwise they should be destroyed, and all his household, save it were himself, and he should only live to see the fulfilling of the prophecies which had been spoken concerning other people receiving the land for their inheritance, and Coriantumr should receive a burial by them, and every soul should be destroyed, save it were Coriantumr. And it come to pass that Coriantumr repented not, neither his household, neither the people, and the wars did not cease. And they sought to kill Ether, but he fled from before them, and hid again in the captivity of the rock, where he was hiding while they were fighting, and the Lord was there with him, so that they didn't find him and destroy him. But here, you know, they're fighting. It's a common thing. We see that these wars go, you know, World War II and all the fighting and the people that were destroyed in that war. Well, why is it here that's happening? Basically, because they're turning their backs upon the Lord. If they were faithful to the Lord and keep his commandments, it says, you know, he would bless them and prosper them. And he tells Coriantumr to do that. Well, Coriantumr doesn't, neither does his household. But, you know, when they get to fighting, they destroyed many people, millions of them there. He finally goes to write a letter to Shiz and tell him that he'll turn the kingdom over to him and he can have it and we can stop this fighting. But Shiz says no, says we're not going to do that, only if you let me kill you. Well, here he has come to the point where he wants to stop the fighting and such not as that, and he tries to make peace with his enemy, and it don't go. The Lord made the offer first, and if he'd have done that, he'd have been spared, but he didn't do that. And so they were all destroyed, as it says here. Every soul should be destroyed, save it was Corianthimer. And so I'd like to go over here on page 202. On verse 36, 202. This is in the book of Omni. And so here on verse 36. Now this is during the time of Mosiah, and he gives that admonition. And it come to pass in the days of Mosiah, there was a large stone brought unto him with engravings on it, and he did interpret the engravings by the gift and power of God. And they gave an account of one Corianthimer and the slaying of his people. And Corianthimer was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons. And it also spake a few words concerning his father. And the first parents come out from the tower at the time of the Lord confounded the language of the people. And the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgment, which are just, and their bones lay scattered in the land northward. Now this is speaking here of the Jaredites that were destroyed. And that's what the Lord told Corianthimer. He had Ether to go prophesy to him, and of course he wouldn't hear the Lord, and so they were destroyed. They were also told that, you know, there would be somebody else brought to this land to inherit it, if they turn their backs upon the Lord, and that's what happened. Now I want to go back up to page 717. 717. And on verse 31. Now we can see the decrees of God concerning this land. That is a land of promise, and whosoever and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath come upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that does possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decrees of God. And we can see that, you know, the Jaredites have been wiped off. The Nephites have been wiped off. And, you know, the Gentiles are not far from being wiped off also. They just not have fallen the Lord as they should. It's a hard thing when Satan busy like he is. And, you know, he is busy. I go back to page 79 here in the Book of Mormon. Now, this is Lehi, and he's speaking to his children and brothers and sisters and sons of Amos and all of them there. But behold, when the time cometh that they shall dwindle in unbelief after they have received so great blessings upon the land, upon the hand of the Lord, having the knowledge of the creation of the earth and all men, knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought to this infinite goodness into this precious land of promise. In this precious land of promise, you know, all of them, the Jaredites as well as the Nephites, pretty much lived in what we call Mexico and Central America. That's quite a prosperous country. As long as it gets rain, it'll measure what can grow down there. It doesn't freeze a lot of the time till you get in the higher elevations. But anyway, up into Mexico they were as well. But this promised land, and you know, even this nation, he mentions that the Gentiles would be blessed here upon this land as long as they turn to the Lord and follow the Lord in all things like they should. Beginning with verse 23. Behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon him. And you know, it does, but you know our Lord is a God of love. He loves those that will serve him, and he loves to bless them and prosper them in all things. And so we can see that this nation has been blessed in the fruits of the that it does grow. We're just snowed under with so many of the vegetables of the world that we can grow. But, you know, he also, when we're not keeping the commandments of God, he brings devastation upon us, you know, blights, such not as that, the locusts that eat up our crops and such things as that, if we forget him. Verse 24, yea, he will bring other nations unto them, and he will give unto them power, and he will take away from them the lands of their possession, and he will cause them to be scattered and smitten. Isn't that what happened to the Native Americans? You know, the last big battle of Custer, you remember him? The battle on the Little Bighorn. You know, Sitting Bull, I think his name was. You know, they really had a fight. Did the Gentiles scatter the Native Americans? Sure did. Scattered them from one end to the other and put them on reservations. And so there they are, but you know, the government looks after them, gives them money, and all of that. But in a way, that's sad what they do. So many of them take the money and they get drunk and they become drunkards. And so, but we do look after them, we do bless them. And you know, they're able to go here and there as they're able to, as they want to. They got colleges they can go to. And that, but you know, the Mohicans, we call them, they're up in the Northeast. You know, the seven nations that gathered together to become strong. There was nothing but war and contention among all the tribes. The Seminoles, they were down in Florida and around. And so the Pilgrims, when they come here, they had troubles with some of the natives, very much. They was at war with them. And so there was one settlement somewhere along South Carolina, North Carolina, I don't know which, of the inhabitants from the old world that come here, that the natives had went in somehow and destroyed them all, everybody. And but you know, the stockade was still there, and it was still in place, but all the settlers had been destroyed. So there was constantly war among them. I can remember some years ago when I was down on the reservation there by New Mexico and Arizona. I was there at a ceremony in the spring of a graduation, 12th graders. And they had a doctor, the speaker there was a doctor. He was Native American. And I think I was the only white man there. But anyway, I went there to listen to him. And he mentioned the fact, you know, how the Gentiles had been rather mean to the Native Americans. They scattered them and smitten them and destroyed them and killed them. And he kind of looked at me when he was saying some of that. But, you know, that's just what the Scripture says would happen. Because why? They turned their back upon the Lord. Just like the Jews at Jerusalem. They were scattered from here to yonder. Why? Because they crucified the Lord and Savior and turned their backs upon him. They turned away. Same situation we have today. People turn away from the Lord. During World War II, this nation was really a nation blessed for the... During the war, you know, we fought the enemy on two fronts and beat them. And the Lord blessed us. A lot of things could have gone wrong, but the Lord was there with us. And, you know, the freedom. You know, in the Civil War, 1861, you know, brothers and sisters become agitated one with another. The South wanted slaves. The North said, no, we want freedom for everybody. South said, no, we got to have our slaves. Well, when you have slaves, you don't have freedom. Because anybody eventually can be sold into slavery if they happen to be poor, and no matter what color your skin is. And so slavery would be just like it was among the Israelites. Anybody and everybody, the children and women, men and wives, there were many of them sold into slavery. And I read some of them, the larger farmers there or merchants, they had up to 1,000 slaves working for them. You know, there's no freedom for those people, that slaves, at all. And so they went to war here in this country, and the South lost. I think they kind of feel it today, a little bit of resentment against the North for winning the war and taking away their slaves from them, because they wanted everybody to be free, to do as they want, and to learn as they could. And so that's the way that went. Well, it was even among the Nephites here, you know. We'll get to them in a little bit. But, you know, they were stricken off as well. But if you read in the book of Jacob, there, about page 180 and along through there, he speaks there of the Jaredites being cut down. And, you know, the wild olive branches being planted here and there, and the mother olive tree. It's quite a little story there that the prophet give. Do I understand it all? No, but some of it I do, but I cannot actually put all the dates when it should be, when it was done. Some of it, yes, but most of it, no. But it does mention about the Jaredites being cut down, and that another nation would be brought here, and that nation that was brought here was the Nephites. And, you know, they had war among the Nephites, you might say, all from day one. You know, Laman and Lemuel, sons of Ishmael, were against Nephi and Lehi, pretty much. But the Lord was with Nephi, blessed him, and helped him to build those ships That's quite a job himself. But to build those tools, that was a genius at work. But really what it was is the Lord showing him how to make those tools that he needed to do that, you know, to a file and all those things. Why, it was rather remarkable what the Lord done for him. And it showed Nephi all of those things. And so they built them ships and sails, and here they come. They found all these wild animals in the forest there for their use, as well as, you know, they found all the metals. Mexico, the state of Mexico, has a lot of ore in the way of silver, gold, and all of that. 9 states also has a lot of those ores like that, as well as Canada. And so we've been blessed to having those things, as the Nephites were blessed, the Jaredites were blessed as well. And so they get built in, but you know, it never does mention the Nephites that I'm aware of, or I remember right now, that they come to a civilization of having machines to harvest their grains and thrash it and plow and all of those things. So, but the nation of Jaredites did the same as we had. You can just see all the vehicles we've got today. Engines take you from here to yonder, go, the oil and the gas and all of those things, natural gas. Have we not been blessed? We sure have. Some of the other nations have some of those things as well, but this nation has been blessed really quite a bit more than the others. So anyway, we had the Civil War, and the other war, you know, it put the Native Americans onto the reservations, transpired, and so there wasn't so much war there, but there was a lot of war until the Gentiles put them down. You know, they were quite a people, those Indians. You know, they had the Mohawks, and then they had the Blackfoots up in Montana. And Chief Joseph, you know, he was somewhere over in the Oregon or Idaho. And then they had the Sioux and Cheyennes. I don't know all the names of the Indian tribes they had, but, you know, supposedly where the Joseph and them moved to there in Independence, the Kansas Indians were the ones that lived in that area, is the ones I'm thinking of. But anyway, they had their wars. I'd like to go on to back to page 617 here, and we'll take up on the Nephites again. It's sad, but in my way of thinking, it's sad how the Nephites, particularly the Nephites, turned away from the Lord so quick to that which was wrong, and they had wars in just short time. On 617, verse 1 here. Now it come to pass that the people of the Nephites did all return to their own lands in the 26th year, every man with his family, his flock, and his herds, his horses, and his cattle, and all things whatsoever did belong unto them. Here, in the 26th year, war is over with. They've been having war for 10 years with the Ghanaian robbers. And so, you know, their ruler, Lankanias, was their ruler, as well as their Gidgadani, was their prophet and such not. And, you know, they told him what to do, and They gathered a place and told them to leave their homes and bring all of their livestock and their foods and that so that they could live for 7 years. So that's what they do, and, you know, they're there, and they think, well, look at this crowd. We got quite a crowd of people here. Well, they might have had 100,000, might have had 200,000 there. I have no idea. But quite a number of people they had, and they wanted to go up and fight the Gadianton robbers and, you know, get down in. Lachanius told them, no, that if they go up, the Lord would deliver them into the hands of the Gadiantons. And so they didn't go. They listened to their prophet and stayed there safe. And as Lachanius told them, you must repent. You must repent of your evil ways that you're doing and turn to the Lord and keep his commandments. And they did. And the Lord delivered them. After 10 years, they were there being in that stockade. Big it was. And they went out and, you know, they destroyed the Gadianton robbers. That was a fighting them, wanting to take over, and they become slaves to them in a way. And so I'll like to go to 623 here, page 623, and I'll read here. Well, I'm lost. Isn't the first time. Well, I guess so much for that verse at 6:23 or 6:18. 6:23, I said, but I don't know where my verses is. I've lost them. But anyway, what it is, it's only a few years from the time that in the 26th year A.D. is the time. It's only a few years. And they have gone evil again in the year 30 A.D. Can you imagine that? 4 years, say 5 years, they leave the Lord, and the more part of them become wicked. On 6:18 there on verse 10, I'll read, but it come to pass in the 29th year, there began to be some disputing among the people. You know, 26, they've gone back to their homes and their lands and all of that. I imagine they're very happy. The enemy has been gone, whipped, destroyed, and those that they capture, they repent, and do not take up arms against the Nephites. But anyway, there are a lot of trouble is coming on in verse 11. And some were lifted up unto pride and boasting because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even unto great persecution. For there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers and many officers. And so somebody's wanting to be in charge all the time. You know, that's the way wars start. And so I'd go over here on 6:19 and read verse 20. Now, they did not sin ignorantly, but they know the will of the God concerning them, for it had been taught unto them. Therefore, they did willfully rebel against God. It was in the days of Lanchonius, the son of Lanchonius, for Lanchonius did fill the seat of his father and did govern the people that year. And so, you know, they did convert some people, but more people turned away from the Lord then they turned to the Lord. And so we move on over to 6:21, and I'll read here on verse 43. And now 6 years had not passed away since the more part of the people had turned from their righteousness, like the dog to his vomit, or like the sow to her wallowing in the mire. Now this secret combination, which had brought so great iniquity upon the people, did gather themselves together, and did place at their head a man whom they did call Jacob, and they did call him their king. And so, you know, the government is broken up. The church is broken up. They gather up in tribes among the people. And they have quite a number of tribes, not just 12. I don't know how many it's. I suppose you could call it like they had here in this country later on. You know, many tribes are under different names. But anyway, they have gone bad. 45. Therefore, he became a king over the wicked man, and he was one of the chiefest, which had given his voice against the prophets, which testified of Jesus. And so the king here and the followers are not as strong as the tribes or the Nephites. They've all broken up. So there's no war yet, really. But you know, Jacob, he leads them off to the north, and where he can be king over them. And he tells them that there'll be a lot of dissenters that'll come to them, and then they can eventually become strong and have their way. Well, we know that shortly here that the crucifixion of Christ took along, 34th year, the Nephites started their dates from the birth of Christ. That was their first year of the birth of Christ. And it says here, you know, in the 34th year, the first month, here on verse 6 on page 624, come to pass in the 34th year, in the first month, in the fourth day of the month, there arose a great storm, such as one as never had been known in all the land. The Lord is had enough of their playing around. And so he's going to remove the evil. And he does, you know. But anyway, the 34th year here, that really is the 33rd year. That's how old Christ was. 33 years and so many days he was. But, you know, it says on the fourth day of the month, the fourth day of the month is the Passover. And that's, what is the 10th day? Well, the 10th day is the day that they are commanded to take the goat or the lamb out of the herd and put it to itself for 4 days, and then to sacrifice that on the fourth day, which would be the 14th day of the month. And so this is when it's transpiring, is at this time. And you know, they come up great whirlwinds, you know, it mentions it carries away some of the people in the whirlwinds. The same way the Lord is knocking on the door today to the people. Just look at all of the tornadoes we're having. Sometimes we're having 15, 20 of them on a weekend. The Lord is telling the people, repent. Repent. And they got their hands up to their ears so they can't hear. They're hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Well, here, you know, after it's all done, the Lord appears to them. He tells them that they are more righteous and they were spared than those that were destroyed. doesn't say they were righteous people. There were some righteous, very righteous among them, yes. But so many of them were spared. It says they were more righteous. They had not stoned the prophets. They fed them and took care of them, and they were more righteous. Well, as you know, after a short time, a year or two, I don't know for sure how long, everybody was converted to the Lord. And, you know, they really had a peace upon this land. It would have been a wonderful time to have been living when they had everything common among them, and they were all keeping the commandments of the Lord and obeying Him, and as they should. How wonderful it would be. Well, the Lord just puts up with the things that's going on. We're close to civil war today, just like they did during the Civil War in 1861. We're having quite an uproar in the land today. But the Lord will take care of it by and by. On page 113, we'll close with this here, what I read here. And I'll start with verse 12. You read a few verses. But behold, thus saith the Lord, when the day cometh that they shall believe in me, this is speaking of the house of Israel, that I am Christ, then have I covenant with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and others, Lehi, Nephi, that they shall be restored in the flesh upon the earth unto the lands of their own inheritance. They not quite there yet. You know, Israel is made into a little nation, but the Muslims want to run them in the sea. The Muslims want to destroy them, lock, stock, and barrel. Well, the Lord's not letting them, but you know war's coming. As I read to you out of Ezekiel 38th chapter, it speaks of there that what's coming. But you know that's all in the future, so they don't see it. We don't see it either. But you know, we know if we don't keep the commandments of God, all is not well with us. And those that will be obedient to the Lord and endure unto the end, all will be well with them. That's what we all want. And verse 14, and the nations of the Gentiles shall be great in the eyes of me, saith God, in carrying them forth to the lands of their inheritance. And you know, the Gentiles have carried them there. England particularly, back in the 40s and 50s and such, not that time, they've been real faithful getting them there. But today it's changing a little bit. Yea, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall become nursing mothers. Wherefore, the promise of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for he has spoken it, and who can dispute? But behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thy inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. And we can see and look back in our short history that we have been a blessed nation, just as it says here, and a house of Israel going to be blessed, says in the flesh they're going to inherit their land again. And Islam will not be able to keep them out. The promise is made to the nation of Israel, and they will be blessed and prospered very much. Thank you.